Father in heaven, give you thanks for today, because we get to celebrate. Today is a day to remember, but also to celebrate, to be just drawn to you, Father, in thinking in what it meant for you, God, to send your son to us. And today we remember that. We don't know exactly if it's happening in around this day. We don't know, and actually that doesn't matter. We just know that your son came. And we celebrate that because we can come with freedom, with joy, with peace, with hope, and to receive your love, Jesus. So we give you thanks and we celebrate today. So God, thank you so much for the gift of Christmas. Amen. 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 Well, welcome to Westside Church. Some of you who are here probably for the first time, we're glad that you're here on our Christmas Eve service. Thank you, everyone who came today. I noticed that a lot of the Latino community are in here, obviously for some, you know, obvious reason, probably cooking, making tamales, and that's okay. That's fine, right? So, but we are here. So I'm gonna start today by just with a, you know, a thought or a question probably for some of you. And when the last time that you moved, you know, to the house that you are in today, the house that you're living in today, what was the motive? Why do you move? Why do you relocate to your house, you know? And just think for a second, why is it that even the thought of moving today, possibility, why would you relocate? And You know, there is a lot of like groups. I don't know why they do that and why it even matters. Right? They get into doing doing surveys. It's like surveys, like, okay, why people relocate? So the top three reasons, okay? So I don't even know if that actually matters, but they said, okay, top three reasons. The first one is work, right? It's an opportunity, you know? You're following, I don't know, a career, money. I don't know. The second one is family, right? And the third one, it's love. Love, it's, you know, as in I'm in love with somebody, right? So you move, you relocate, and you're okay with that. You try to arrange all the things. That's my case, right? I moved to the United States because of love. How romantic. No, for real. My wife is there. Ashley, can you just raise your hand? That's my wife. And my three daughters are there, so I'm my mother-in-law. So I moved here, when we're about seven, no. Was that 17, 8? Well, 16, but about 18 years ago, or no, 17 probably, I proposed on a day like today at midnight, right? So, and I was in love. So I moved to the United States. So why would you relocate? Why would you move to another state? You know, why would you move to let's say Mongolia or Eastern Europe or Africa or California? Why would you move, you know? So, and we see, you know, that the Christmas story, when you think about it, is about a guy relocating to another world, you know, moving into a world that it was, you know, that was not fun, it was evil, it was bad, it was full of, you know, oppression and many other things. Why would you want to move to a place like that, knowing all the conditions? Why would you move to a place when you know that there is war, that there is a crime, you know, rate are really high? Why would you move there unless you have a big and powerful motivation, right? And you might say, well, you know, work, job, you know, that pays. Well, I know I'm moving to this location, but it's tough. Okay, I'm moving to California. It's expensive, but, you know, and people, you know, anyway. So why would you move? And when you think of the Christmas story, it's about, you know, I just picture, you know, God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, you know, saying it's about to relocate. It's about to move, about time to move. And we know that they have been planning that for about 4,000 years before that, since Adam and Eve, you know. Cause that thought in the Father, we have to, at some point, go there to earth. And we know that was in the making for 4,000 years or so, thinking at some point, son, you will have to join that town, that part of the universe. Just think of that in terms, oh, I have to move to that part of the town. You know, just think of Jesus, I have to move to that part of the universe, right? Where people are just evil. And I just wonder, a normal conversation between the son and the father, asking father, but you know, they are bad, or they're going to reject me. They're going, you know, to treat me badly. They are even going to crucify me, to mock me, and mock you, and reject the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to do that, father? And the father would say, because I love them. Because I love them so much. Because their pain, their sorrow, their suffering, it moves me in a way that I can't just think of allowing the course of history continue as it is. I have to do something about it. And the only way for us to do something here is for you, son, to move to that bad neighborhood, bad part of the universe. And just think, when you think of survey, why would you move in our minds, unless you have a powerful reason, and a lot of the time, unless you have a really good job, a really good opportunity, or unless you are being persecuted or pushed out by corruption, by society, by persecution, you have to move. That's the story of the immigrants. And Jesus somehow is an immigrant in a way, because he had to come and assume a role, a new world that was not his. He is a king, and he decided to come and join and be born in the worst of the moments of history. Under persecution, oppression, in a bad neighborhood, without a job offering, at least financially, without any guarantees of survival as a baby. And at the moment of that final conversation, I just imagine the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's about time, son, and you have to go, and you have to obey me in doing this. Yes, Father, I'm in agreement. We all will do it together. And I just imagine a third of the angel. You know that the angels, a third of the whole, you know, millions and billions of angels that God made are against his kingdom. And I just imagine at that moment of Jesus saying, Father, I will obey, Satan just clenching his teeth and saying, no, we have to stop this. And I just picture a cosmic battle going on in the universe. A third of the angels just going around and trying to stop the most powerful act of love. And I just picture Satan, we have to do something. You, and you go and deal with Herod. He is the one that is going to stop this. And the Christmas story starts somehow like that. Jesus being born and then just not knowing we're moving. I just came to this neighborhood, Bethlehem. We have to move, son. Let's go. He didn't know. As an immigrant, all the way to Egypt. I just picture Satan and the demons trying to stop what was about to happen. For 33 years, there was not a greater when you move the water really bad, help me out, please. Yeah, like that word. Then those 33 years, Satan and all the demons trying to stop Easter from happening. And Jesus just remembering, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? These people will hate me, spit in my face, punch me, kick me, kill me. And he just saying, because I love them. What is the motive for Christmas? It's love. We have learned so far about the four concepts of Advent, the ideas that move Advent. And we start a few weeks ago with hope in the little one. Yeah, that's hope. Hope looks at the future with a smile, knowing that there is a better tomorrow guaranteed by God to those who believed in him. Hope applies to those who have said yes to God. I hear over and over when people are saying, how can people without God go through so much pain? Because those who have been touched by God have hope, and they can see, because I know in the future there will be an end to all this suffering, all this mess. So that's why we are people of hope. We are also a people of peace. And we learn that peace is something that we cause. We have to make it happen. It's more than emotion in our hearts. I'm okay, I'm at peace. I don't have issues. No, it's not the absence of problem. It's the practice of faith through the problems, and we are the people of peace. We're also the people of joy. Joy, again, is not an emotion. It's our capacity to actually look at the problems with the certainty, with the faith, and the looking forward what awaits for us. It's not the absence of pain. And today we are receiving the gift of love. And love, I think, it's what actually explains everything else. Is the motive, is the reason, is the gift of the season. Is what actually caused God to say, I will do it. John 3:16 says this, and we know it. We should know it by memory. It says, for God so loved the world. It's just past that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave. That's why Christmas is about giving, right? And when you think of this season of Christmas, of giving, and, you know, for the kids, toys, we wrap the whole story, the whole event, the nature of Christmas, we wrap it with what seem almonds. They are powerful story, bedtime stories, that we wrap them with such a colorful tone that we actually, in doing that, probably are missing what is actually in the Bible, which is pain, suffering, doubt, stories of all those bad emotions through which God had to navigate in people's heart. Mary, Joseph, Zachariah, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the wise men, through all of them, God had to navigate all their emotions. And we know that one of those emotions that were against them was fear. The Christmas story in the Bible is wrapped with the wrapping paper of fear. Fear of tomorrow, fear what's going to happen, is it true? Fear of actually believing, actually God choosing me to do this. Is God actually giving me this gift? I just picture Elizabeth, Zachariah, like, actually, is this the guy that is supposed to go in front of Jesus, preparing the way for him? And then Mary, a teenager, just receiving this encounter with an angel. And we just picture an angel with wings. We actually don't know. It seems that the whole narrative of the Bible, angels were something that you would encounter, you would feel fear. You would be terrified. You would say, Lord, somehow give you that impression that it was not a tall guy, blonde hair with wings, kind of like a soldier. It was, I don't think it's necessarily like that. Can be. But the sentiment of the Christmas story in the gospel is fear. And that's why when we hear Paul talking about do not fear, or say do not fear, because that's not what the Holy Spirit gives you. It's love. We think that the negative or the opposite emotion of loving is hate. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's actually fear. And that's why we see there fearing the possibility of what God might do in this season of Christmas. What are you feeling in relation to God? Do you doubt his love? Do you doubt his protection? Do you doubt his provision? Are you fearing 2023? Are you fearing another pandemic when someone gets calls like, oh my goodness, another type of call? How many type of call can we get? Do you fear this next year? One of the most powerful phrases in the whole Christmas story, and I encourage you to read tomorrow's devotional in our website, is when it says that Mary treasured all the words deep in her heart. What makes Christmas a reality, to stay near to our hearts, is the way how we actually slow down and ponder about what we are seeing. Christmas is not a bedtime story. Christmas is a terrifying story wrapped with fear, but yet full of hope, full of joy, full of peace, and full of love. I guess that's a sign. Jude, can you please come up here? So what is happening to our love? Jesus, at the end of his ministry, the disciples were talking with him and saying, Rabbi, teacher, master, what should we look in the future? How do we know when things are about to end? Love God whole. Literally. In Matthew 24, it says that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What is happening to love today? What is happening to our capacity to actually being willing to relocate just because of love? Would you move to another part of the world just because you love? Would you move just because you have a mission? Because you care for people? Because you love what people go through and suffer? Because you love God, or because you love his mission and his church? Would you relocate because of love? Because of the increase of wickedness, The love of must with grow whole. Is your love growing whole? Is your capacity to love growing whole? Are you loving your spouse the same way you did it at the beginning? Are you loving the church the same way how you did it once? Are you loving God the same way you did it at the beginning of your faith? And this is the question for today. Is the evil out there? Is the evil in your heart causing your love to grow cold? Is your capacity to enjoy God's love for you also being hijacked by the wickedness out there, by your own wickedness, by your selfishness that we see out there? Are you losing hope? Are you thinking this world is going to, you know where? Why should I worry about this? And this is what Jesus is saying. When you see people thinking like that, then the end is near. So we, the people of God, have to make sure that our love will not grow cold. And this only happens when we have his warm, his tender embrace, making sure that we keep warm in our capacity to love. Do not get tired of loving, and do not get tired of receiving God's love. Do not doubt of. Treasure everything in your heart. Ponder about what John 3:16 means. God so loved. God so loved. Wow, what a powerful motive to do everything. Our motives are wicked. We move because of money, because of other things, selfishness. You know, we're just selfish people. But God said, I like giving. So I love them and I'm going to give them the best thing I have, my only and one son. Church, let's go on and stand up. And as we think of the warmth that we need from God so that our love will not grow cold, and as a way of doing this, let's pass to each other the light that represents exactly that light. That interrupts our darkness, but also that provides heat and warmth. We need his love. We need that tender, warm embrace of the Father tonight. And let's pray for a 2023 that is full of his love in our hearts, that everything that we do is motivated, driven, and sustained by his love. So we're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to pass to each other this light as you get your candles. And I'm going to light this candle here that represents all those elements. And I'm going to invite, Rory, can you come up? Can you come over here, please? Can you come? And you're going to go and get this and pass it to somebody else, and then you keep passing it, okay?